just a brief word of prayer. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For your Son's sake, amen. I don't know what your thoughts are on soon entering the new year of 2026. Most of us, I guess, will have some expectations for the weeks and the months ahead. Some of our young folk will be hoping to progress with their studies or in their chosen career. Some of us who are older will be hoping and perhaps praying that 2026 will have less by way of disappointments or challenges than the last 12 months. Most of us will have some hopes and dreams or goals as a new year approaches. A number of years ago, Lila and I met an elderly lady, a widow, when we were on holidays in the Wicklow-Wexford area. And we have kept contact over the years, kind of one of those Christmas card contacts. We'll call her Valerie. Valerie usually has a letter in her Christmas card telling us about things she's done and places she's been during the past 12 months. And she does get out and about. In more recent years, she has taken to cruising. Partway through her letter to us this year, just a week or so ago, she said this: "It's cheaper to book your next cruise when you are on a cruise. So I have booked one for 2026 and one for 2027. Now, there's some forward-looking holiday planning. Whatever our thoughts are for 2026, whatever our plans might be, whatever we hope to achieve, we do well to pause and take notice of the words of verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We look at this verse not in tight detail, but in some detail, and hopefully see that there are some things we should indeed give our attention to. The first is our focus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Folk who are into photography will know about the importance of focus. Whatever they are taking a picture of has to be in view, has to be clearly in focus, with no shadows or shapes that might take away from it. Sometimes Lila asks me to take a picture with my phone when we're out for a walk. Maybe of a bird or a squirrel, or maybe of the sea if we are at Port Rush or Port Stewart on a stormy day. Well, I'm either too close to the object or too far away from it, and usually the picture isn't central, or it looks like the object is shivering. The focus just isn't there. To photographers, focus is key, and they usually take time to get that right. The writer to the Hebrews tells us where our focus should be. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. I'm told that the picture behind the word fix is that of a person concentrating their gaze on someone or something. For example, a coach's last words to a sprinter might well be, "When the gun sounds, start running as fast as you can. Keep your eyes fixed on the finish line and keep running to it." To fix our attention on something or someone is to have that thing or person in view with full concentration. Folks, you and I know this very well. To get Jesus into focus for the new year and to keep Jesus in focus throughout the year will not be easy, because so many other things in life seek our attention. So many other things in life make demands of us. So many other things in life eat up our time. And then there's television, hobbies, socializing with our friends, and social media. Not that there's much wrong in any of these areas, but they can divert our focus. I think the writer to the Hebrews knew very well how hard it is to keep Jesus Christ front and center in the Christian life. And that's why he used the word fix. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Concentrate on him for your spiritual good and for his direction in your life. I wouldn't for a moment want to be unkind to Peter, one of Jesus' first disciples, because we can learn so much from Peter through his failings of faith and his recovery to faith. And of course, we can benefit so much from his writings as well. But what was Peter's problem when he got out of the boat to walk on the water at the invitation of Jesus? Was his problem not a lack of focus? We're told he began to go down in the water when he looked around him, when he took his eyes off Jesus. Folks, does Jesus feature in our lives and plans for 2026? I mean, do we have him clearly in view? Some years ago, a man hired an experienced guide to lead him on a hike into the Swiss Alps. And after many hours, the path became unclear, and the hiker became anxious. To his left was a high rock face. To his right, there was a dangerous drop. Looking down, the man felt dizzy and his knees were knocking. At that moment, his guide shouted, "Don't look down or you are as good as dead. Keep your eyes on me, and where I put my feet, you put yours there as well." The man did as he was told, and soon he was safely on his way again. No one knows what lies ahead for us in the new year. We may have our plans and our dreams and our goals and our expectations, but the times and seasons of life are in God's hands. And sooner or later, we will find ourselves in a difficult place, perhaps personally or family-wise. But difficult places are doable as we fix our eyes on Jesus, as we focus on Him and keep our gaze on Him. And our verse gives us wonderful motivation when it says that Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. There's something authentic, original, and certain about these words, the author and perfecter of our faith. At its most basic, this means that Jesus laid the foundation for our faith by His death and resurrection. And He gives us the faith we need when we feel like quitting. He will work for us and in us and with us on the matter of faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That's our focus. Second, from this verse, our example. And what an example we have in Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Think about those words. Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. The two words we need to notice here are joy and cross. Now, my first thought is that they just don't go together. The cross speaks of pain, suffering, shame. The cross speaks of ridicule, rejection, and humiliation. Crucifixion meant a slow, painful death. There was nothing at all to be admired about death on a cross. It was the worst kind of punishment reserved for the worst of criminals. Where is the joy to be found on a cross? The answer is that there's no joy by death on a cross. But here's the point. Jesus endured the pain and shame of the cross because He kept His mind, kept in mind the joy beyond the cross. Jesus endured the cross for what would come later. I'll put it this way. Jesus had joy doing His Father's will. He said on one occasion, I do always what pleases the Father. Jesus had joy in completing what God had sent Him into the world to do, to make forgiveness of sins possible for you and for me. Jesus had joy in that He would be reunited with His Father, having finished His mission on earth. Gain after pain was the way for Jesus. And we need to remember this in our times of trial, in our times of trouble, in our times of difficulty. Gain after pain was the way for Jesus. People who are big into keep fit tell us that there is no gain without some pain. People who are keen about learning a musical instrument know that hours and hours have to be given to practice in order to reap the benefits. Folk at the top of their sport have to get up early in the morning to train, week in, week out. They want to get picked for the team. Students who want to do well at their studies or in their career have to work hard when they could be watching television or out socializing or playing their favorite computer games. Friends, we will face nothing in life that Jesus hasn't faced. No disappointment or challenge. And so He understands the disappointments and challenges we face in the journey of life. He is an example for us to keep pressing on, to keep believing, to keep holding on even with fingertip faith, because He is with us and has good things stored up for all who know and love Him. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us focus on Him. our example, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Our focus, our example, and our hope. Again, it's in verse 2. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How can we say that Jesus is our hope? Well, when do we sit down in the general run of life? We sit down when the job is done, when the project is complete. When I worked in the aircraft factory in Kilkeel, once every few weeks, a trailer load of aircraft seats would be loaded up for delivery. But there was nearly always a problem getting the parts to finish the last few seats. Parts were coming in from suppliers hand to mouth, so to speak. And no one could sit down until all the seats were finished and the lorry was loaded, even if that took us well into the night. We could sit down when the job was done, when the work was finished. The mention of Jesus sitting down at the Father's side tells us that his work was done, that he'd finished all he came into the world to do. Mission complete. In the Old Testament way of doing things, the priests on duty could never sit down because their work of offering sacrifices for sin was never done. That's explained for us in verses 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 10. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Christ, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Once Christ had offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin, no other offering was required or needed. And so our hope is that in Jesus, because of who he is and because of what he has done, our hope is that in Jesus we find forgiveness. In him we find friendship. In him we have a future. Because even as he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, so will his followers of all time rise up to sit with him. The Apostle Paul speaks about this in Ephesians 2, verse 6. Paul says there, of the believer, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. From the surrounding verses in Ephesians 2, Paul says that by grace we have been saved and are already seated with Christ in heaven. Paul doesn't say we will someday be seated. He says of the believer that we are already seated with Christ. This truth, wonderful as it is hard to comprehend, especially in those times when the daily reality is a bit of a slog. We may not now feel seated in heavenly places. In our minds, we are in a battle every day. But from God's point of view, the battle is over and the victory is already ours. And someday when we see Christ, all that is his will become ours because we are joint heirs with Jesus. Our hope in the race set before us is that one day we will cross the finish line and we will be seated with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Our work over, the victory finally won. Friends, I don't know where your focus is this evening. And you, I suppose, don't know where my focus is for 2026. But on the verge of a new year, there's opportunity, is there not, to pause. Perhaps begin to reprioritize. An opportunity to take to heart what our verse says to us. It tells us where our focus should be, on Jesus, whose example we should follow, Jesus, even when life is difficult and challenging. And our verse reminds us of our hope, because even as Jesus is seated with his Father in heaven, so too will all who are savingly committed to him and follow him. We will be able to run the race set before us, as mentioned in verse 1, if our focus is more and more on Christ and less on the world around us and the things of the world around us. And we will get through the troubles and challenges that may come along as we learn from the example of Jesus. He kept the gain in mind beyond the pain. And what a hope we have in Christ, even as he is seated at the right hand of the Father. All who believe are already, yes, it's hard to comprehend, but believers already sit with him there. And if you're here tonight and have delayed on trusting Christ, you maybe intended to do it this year. But if you're here tonight and you've delayed on trusting Christ during 2025, like perhaps you have delayed on trusting Christ in 2024 and for years before that, friend, delay no longer on him who loves you, whose arms are outstretched towards you, who has given himself for you, that you might know forgiveness for your sins, peace with God, and the hope of heaven in your heart. Let's pray. Lord God, we are where we are this evening as a result of your patience with us and goodness to us. We thank you that the approaching new year gives us the opportunity to pause, to reflect as to where we are or how we are with you, and to make adjustments to the focus and direction of our lives. May we take this opportunity to look again to Jesus with focus and make him our all in all for the present and for the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.